We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast. Festival for more details.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Wake that ass up
early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Our special guest host, Chris Kalen, is here.
What's up?
And we got some special guests in the building.
Our guy.
Yeah. Nick Cannon is here.
Yes.
With a special guest, Klondike
Blonde.
We got a future superstar in the building.
Yes.
I ain't seen Nick. We ain't seen you all year.
I know.
But we've seen him, but he hasn't been here. But he's been doing every damn thing out there.
Yeah.
How you been, brother?
I mean, I'm good, man. I'm excited about, you know, obviously here to talk about the new show that we're launching on BET, VH1. But just working, man. You know how it goes. Just the grind. Doing my morning show thing, too. So that's probably why I really ain't been able to be up here.
Yeah, future superstar. Speaking of future superstars, how you feel about your son being a better rapper than you?
That's still amazing.
Yesterday we played his verse. We played his 8 bars.
Yeah, he was going in.
Who
the fuck you think? Well, I see, no, I don't want none of my wax sauce to get on him. So I'll let him. He's doing all right. I'm falling back.
Now, somebody said he offered the ghost right for you.
Yeah, he should. Nah, my son is amazing, man. And like seeing, like, the, you know, when them young kids really got the natural swag, like he be putting me up on the new game and stuff. And the dope thing is he's a rapper, but he's also a producer too. So he's really into that space of like making beats and DJing and gaming and all that stuff. If he wants to do that, I see he really got it. Y'all see him rocking them stages.
Absolutely.
He's doing it every night on tour with his mom. So
that's pressure, though, right? Because he's Nick Cannon's dad, Mariah Carey.
See, there's
his mom.
No pressure of being Nick Cannon's.
You're still a superstar.
No, I'm sorry. But now being Mariah's daughter and singing.
Yes.
Right.
True.
Right.
That's the pressure.
So that's why even with Monroe, we got her doing things like I taught her how to play guitar. We still work. I want her to have other aspects. She really wants to be an actress, too. Mm-hmm. She's talking about she wants to go to the Yale. Drama school and make sure, like, if she really gets, like, she's taking it serious. Like, she's already talking about, you know, getting her degree in theater at Yale. So, like, just trying to, you know, as a father, trying to really guide them in a direction. And we never pushed it on them, but the fact that now they're really starting to embrace it as they get into the teenage world, really want to cultivate it. So, I'm proud of them, man.
Dope.
With everything that you're doing, right, we talked about some of the shows.
When do you have time to do so many goddamn skits, Nick? I was watching one this morning, Charlamagne was like, Nick just bored. He's just bored.
It's all part of the movement, though. It's like, I mean, y'all know, y'all do this every morning. It's like, it's cameras always around, a lot of creative people around. So I just, my team was like, yo, let's start doing it. I drop like a skit or two every week, just on some fly shit.
Now you do a skit with one of your child's moms.
Yes.
A lot.
Yeah.
Now, any other child mom be like, why you do so many skits with
her? Well, it's interesting because, like, I mean, everybody kind of got their lane. So, like, on my morning show, The Daily Cannon, I have, you know, one of the mothers of my children. She's in radio. She's DJ Abby De La Rosa. So that's kind of her space. So our social commentary and daily conversation, that's her lane. So Bree is on Selling Sunset and, like, kind of like a social media guru and stuff. So that's her lane. So and everybody, even behind the scenes, like, you know, some of them have like foundations and we do a lot of philanthropic work. You'll see that. Some are literally like doctors and writing op-eds and theses. So you'll be able, like, the people that specifically the mothers of my children that I have in my life, I try to cultivate whatever it is that they're into, and even kind of goes all the way back to the business of like future superstars. Like, I feel like I'm in that season. I'm in my era of just helping others and kind of amplifying whatever it is that they got going. And sometimes it just happened to be my baby mama.
Yeah, that's always been your thing, though.
Nah, I mean, you know, you too, man. You don't get enough credit for all that you do, you know, helping people and putting them on and allowing them to shine. So I feel like we're kind of those guys that get to say, all right, if we see something in somebody, we can kind of put the mechanisms around them and allow them to do their thing.
Right. All praises to God.
There it is.
Now, Klondike Blonde, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm blessed, black, and highly favored. Now, where did the concept of future superstars come from, Nick? And why Klondike Blonde? Why her specifically?
I mean, if you...
She's the GOAT.
She's the GOAT. Okay. Her vibe is punk rock rap. Like, and if you saw her episode that actually just aired, you know, this week, is really... These people have compelling stories. If we remember what VH1 was always about, was like we saw the behind the music, and it was really like telling the story. Sometimes, you know, it was a retrospective story, but now it's like these are the origin stories. So this is like before the music. This is in her journey, man. I mean, everything that she's gone through in life, from, you know, there's a lot of tragedy. There's a lot of things where her music helps with her anxiety and to be able to kind of create your own genre. We went on this tour and I just wanted to highlight and tell the stories of these people that are just more than musicians, because we don't have that no more. We don't have, other than platforms like y'all had, but we came up with VH1 Behind the Music and, you know, 106 and Park and all that. So I feel like we can now still be those curators to help this next generation, because I just got frustrated as somebody who has a label and has artists and like, yo, what happened to that promo run? What happened to putting people on the road, coming into radio stations, playing their song, meeting PDs, and shaking hands, kissing babies, all of that type of stuff? And we did that. I started the tour with Live Nation, and then I put the cameras on it, and, you know, now we got, you know, a tour, a TV show. They on the cover of Vibe magazine. It's like, so now it's like, this is like that starter kit of like, all right, the way XXL has the freshman cover, but now we got the cover of the magazine, we got the tour, we got the TV show. So if you see one of these acts, they literally gonna become, you know, the next superstar.
What you just said is why I feel like it's hard to build superstars nowadays.
Facts.
Like, there are no, I don't think there are, who's the last superstar? I'm talking about superstar we've had.
Facts. And then we had that conversation all the time, because it's like, one, you don't, everything is so microwavable. You know what I mean? Everybody wanted now, and then when they don't want it no more, they on to the next thing.
That's right.
But if you know someone's story, if you know what she went through, if you know, you know, her relationship, you know, with her family and the things that, you know, how close she is with, you know, her brother was one of her biggest fans and had a tragic accident, and now she's doing it for her brother. If you know that the songs that, you know, why she has all the tattoos is connected to growing up in a trap house and her mom and dad being teenagers. Like, when you know that about somebody, when you hear their music, you're like, okay, I'm connected now. And I feel like this generation of kids, they're figuring it out through their phones and social media, but it's never amplified. You never get to see it at a level to where, you know, hopefully we doing with future superstars.
Go ahead.
So, like, with you being from Raleigh, North Carolina, the South, how did you get discovered? Because it seems like no one really looks for us down South.
Exactly.
Especially in the Carolina.
Right.
So the thing is, I did move to Cali when I was 12.
Okay.
So, but this was in the Bay Area. Even in the Bay Area, I couldn't really, like, get my name out there like I wanted to. So as soon as I turned 18, I moved to Atlanta. Because I knew, like, growing up, I knew that was the spot, like, to be, like, to get discovered and to pop off your career. So that's really how I got discovered in Atlanta.
What about the name, Klondike Blonde?
Honestly, it came out of my ass one day. I was really high.
What?
Yeah.
Just came out your ass one day?
Okay. What is that? Too much ice cream? Too many Klondike bars?
Yeah, right?
Like, whatever. Out of nowhere. Like, I had just cut my hair and bleached it blonde, and I was about to upload my first song. I'm looking in the mirror high as hell, and I'm like, I'm not finna upload this song under my government name.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It just came to me. I was like, Klondike Blonde, this is it. So I uploaded the song. I put the name as Klondike Blonde, and it just stuck.
Let me tell you how stupid one of our producers is.
Very so stupid.
This has nothing to do with you at all. She goes, yeah, she's a lesbian. And I go, what does sexuality got to do with anything?
I get that a lot.
Because it's Klondike.
Exactly.
Klondike.
Then she comes back in the room and goes, oh, Kyle was wrong. She's not a lesbian.
Her to be one?
I have no idea. I'm like, what does this have to do with anything?
But when she said it, I was like, oh, wow, that makes sense. Klondike. Right. I'm like, well, you're like, that's kind of dope. Come on, that's dope.
But you know what's crazy? Like, when I be out and stuff, like at the club for some reason, like I get so much female attention. Like, they
Klondike?
Grab my phone. They don't even know my name yet.
Oh, okay.
They grabbing my phone, putting their number in my phone. I'm like, fuck.
Probably because of the tattoos.
Maybe.
I don't know, but you're a cute girl.
Yeah.
I think you're a vibe. So what do you
Nick, oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Nick said the tattoos tell a story.
Yeah.
You have a weapon of mass destruction on your neck. That's an AK-47.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything looks crazy, but everything got a reason.
Talk to me.
Right.
Where do we start?
The AK.
Yes.
So Abella and Katana are two of my little sisters. So the A plus the K together. For me?
Okay.
I don't know.
Now, what about the wolf under the 919?
It's not a wolf. It's my doggy.
Oh, okay. Well, he's from the wolf family. He is from the wolf family.
You're right.
And the triangle?
Okay, so one of my best friends, I was like, I don't know, I was a little sad one day, and she said that this is supposed to, like, uplift you and, like, change your life.
You just
or
listen to it.
A triangle.
Like, so you know,
you know what's crazy? She told me, like, in the morning, and I went to go get it in the afternoon. So, like, that was kind of impulsive.
She's one of them impulsive. Like, her song impulsive. Right now is called Tatted Up. That's her single.
Mm-hmm.
And she literally, I mean, one the biggest one is probably covered right now, but she got Blanca. Like,
yeah, Blanca on my belly.
Oh, like Thug Life?
Yeah, on some, like, Tupac shit. So, I was like, she really about
and
that
you, time. Where did you Why find Blanco, the people that don't know?
I think
Blanca's some gangster shit, right?
Griselda Blanco.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Griselda Blanco, yeah.
She's also a cult.
Yeah, I see. Where did you find it, though, Nick?
Honestly, it's, you know, she's kind of truncating her story a little bit, but she was on the grind for a minute and actually had a song that went super viral. A lot of people already her Drip record went crazy, like 20-30 million streams, and I heard, like, my kids were singing it off of TikTok, and I'm like, one of them annoying ass songs. Like, I'm back on my Drip.
Annoying.
I mean,
I didn't know about it.
Like, I seen my kids singing it, like, what is this damn song? And they're like,
and you gotta make sure it's not something inappropriate.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, this joint is crazy. And then through our connection, you know, through Frisco Chuck in the Bay and everything, who runs Incredible Music, was like, yo, this is that record. And then we met her, and knowing that she was already moving, as I was like, yo, this, she's a superstar. Like, when she walk in the room, you're like, that's a star right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then from then, I was putting together the Future Superstar Tour, and we're like, yo, we could probably make this work. And you know me, I'm always thinking TV shows, movies, products, and all that. And she embodied everything that we was trying to put together with that young energy. The fact that she already had something that was popping and really just wanted to cultivate, like, yo, when you see somebody, I was like, all right, we're going to tweak it like this. We're going to take all that viral sensation and put something on it. And I was like, yo, she's a rock star. So we've been going with this punk rock rap movement that she created.
Do you feel like you are, because I see you standing behind her, and, you know, do you feel like you missed out because you didn't stand behind by Kalani like you should, or maybe her? Because you had something to do with her too, right?
Yeah. And a lot of people don't even know there's a connection between her and Kalani. It's just something, I mean, it's something in the water in the Bay Area that really, like, it's just young stars up there really, really getting it popping. And, I think one of the reasons why I actually brought Future Superstars to VH1 is because a lot of people don't know me as the music executive, or, you know, the actually.
People try not to think about you in music.
See, that, because a motherfucker's like this. It, because this is the motherfucker who started between him, Carlos Miller, fucking everybody that I employ on Wildin' Out. We created this narrative that I don't know music.
You know what's crazy? I was singing the words to Gigolo, and he was so upset that I knew the words to Gigolo.
I didn't know the words to Gigolo.
I knew the chorus.
T.I., I thought this was my fucking friend.
Oh yeah, T.I. just went,
shot it. I got a straight.
A straight shot yesterday. Yeah, I see that.
All he said was Nick Cannon don't got no hits.
That's not true.
Gigolo is a hit.
That's not a hit.
Don't make me start saying that again.
I gotta fucking have this conversation.
I'm a gigolo. That's gonna really lots of
like, again, in all seriousness,
you do have a good eye as a music executive.
Yeah. So, and I've been doing it
so
for quite.
So what happened with Kalani? What happened?
I mean, it's still as an executive, and even this process, because what I don't like to be, and we can get a little deep in this, I don't like to be one of those executives that take advantage of people. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be some. I'm never like the vulture energy of just like, oh, I'm a sign this part. I'm gonna take credit. So what I do, I've helped a lot of artists, and I just fall back. And you could tell the world that I helped you or put you on or signed you if you want to. But I'm not. I don't force you to wear the incredible chain. I don't. And because that's how the industry has been set up for so long. And so now you hear all of these stories of people saying, this person took my publishing, this person, I never got paid. I never wanted to be, one, because I was an artist. So I was like, when I get the opportunity to put people on, I'm not going to force my hand on anyone. So the beauty of Future Superstars is I get to show the journey. I get to show all the hard work that I put in the artist without having to be like, this my artist and this is this. And now when I make those deals, and get like I don't want your money. I don't want you to
you
be.
You sound like Suge Knight when Suge Knight did the Source Awards. If you don't want an executive that's
all in the videos, taking all your publishing.
Come over there.
Come to Incredible. Nah, but in the sense it's like I just really want to be fair to people. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so right. That's the reason why you never heard about me, you know, helping a lot of these artists that are superstars now. But people are like, man, you got to take your credit. You got to show people what you do. And now because we keep cameras around and stuff all the time, I can show people the process of this is how a music executive really moves. And so my journey, my narrative on Future Superstars, you get to see me go from city to city, really looking for superstars. Literally every city we went to, I gave out $10,000 to an artist, emerging artist. That's usually a signing bonus for life. And I would just get, here's a $10,000 grant. You had to sign the grant and tell me why you popping in your city. And we was literally handing out big checks in every city and getting them ready for season two.
So you own mad publishing that don't nobody know about.
I just gave them money, Charlamagne. They kept their publishing. But I just said, man, hey, I want to see you continue on. So it's one of those scenarios where I want to pay it forward and show people that you don't have to steal from people. And I think because of someone who has a talent, who has a gift, you don't have to leech off of someone else's gift. You could just amplify their gift and hopefully that's what Future Superstars.
What about her? Because I mean, I saw the Kalani. Because I know you had Dolly doing like a lot of the day to day. But I didn't see her. I never saw her.
Well, interesting enough, if you go back, and one of the things because we kind of had them the same time. They kind of even grew up together. And I was real close with Gabby, as we know as her, like her father and stuff. We kind of grew up in the same hood, and so I would always. Her dad actually was the one that told me that Kalani was not doing so well, was homeless at the time when she was a teenager. I was like, yo, you should call that girl that you had on America's Got Talent. Mm-hmm. Because we were already working with Gabby, who was 9 or 10 years old and like a phenom of playing like 7 instruments and stuff. And we didn't
Is her, y'all.
Yeah, we didn't know what to do with her at the time. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny when you're saying her, because you don't know who I'm talking about.
Especially the artist, her.
Gabby. And then she would see, we were working on Kalani and she was trying to find her identity as a kid. And she was like, yo, I want to, and I'm like, yo, you should, let's, forget about, the artistry, just work on the music and focus on that. And we don't even have to put an image out there. And then that's eventually how she came up with cultivating, like not showing her face and kind of just making about the music because her sound was so mature.
Yeah.
Like her voice is so amazing that a lot of people are like, that's a little girl. Like, and we actually, if you go back and do the research, like we had Gabby, she was on, those like emerging artists on the BET Awards as Gabby Wilson. And it would, you see this little girl, this giant bass guitar, and she was on the Today Show, and it was like more gimmicky. I put her in if you look, like there's a Nickelodeon movie that I wrote and directed called Schoolgirls that we put, it was Justin Bieber's first movie, it was Soulja Boy, she was one of the little girls in it. So you see the work that I put in with these artists over the years, and then you look up and you're like, oh damn, that was such, like people who pay attention know that we was doing it. And then by the time they become the stars that they are, some show love, some don't, but it's just like, yo, It's not my place to be like, I'm the one that gave you your first
this and that. Or they would never sign?
I don't want people to be signed to me. That's what I'm saying. That's like, true. I don't need that. That's like, true. Again, like, why? If
I can connect you. I don't want to be your middleman. I don't need none of your money. I don't need none of your publishing. And I, every artist that I work with, I'm like, I'm going to be good whether you're successful or not. You know, so if anything, let me be able to be a mentor and tell you, this is what I think you should do as someone who just cares about you and wants to see you win. When you sign somebody, that gets a little weird.
Business transaction.
Yeah, then it's a, I don't want to have ownership over nothing that God has blessed you with.
I'd rather partner. I'd rather either just do it because I want to do it, or I'd rather just partner with you.
Exactly. Right. And then in that partnership, I'm bringing something to the table than connections and all that. Let's work on something together. And then in these things, as partnerships, we can get money together. But I don't ever, like, even that thing, like, I wouldn't want, I don't want no, if I ain't write part of the song, I don't want nothing that Kehlani or her or Trey 2-3 or any of these people that are great, amazing songwriters, I wasn't a part of that. Why should I be collecting on that?
Yeah. Is that pressure, Klondike, for you?
Pressure as far as what?
Because, you know, you hear about the Her story, the Kalani story. Is it pressure for you to reach that level of success?
I mean, it is. I wouldn't say it's pressure from that. I just have that desire to reach that level of success regardless. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's pressure at all.
Do you feel like you had your I made it moment yet?
I feel like I accomplished everything I said I was going to do as a kid, but being here and seeing that, like, I accomplished those things, I still see that I have way further to go. So I don't think in my head that, like, I'm exactly where I need to be.
But you're definitely on the right track, though.
But I'm on the right track.
Yeah, you're definitely
on the right track. We're almost there, for sure.
Why did you just focus on music, though, with Future Superstars, Nick?
I think that's just the first show that I rolled out. Okay. You're going to see a lot more stuff. I mean, obviously in the space of, you know, comedy is where, you know, we get off really well. And, you know, platforms like Wildin' Out has birthed so many stars. Mm-hmm. So I have that place where I can implement social media stars and even comedians and actors, because Wildin' Out is going to continue to go and do what it needs to do. So I feel like I have that lane. And again, part of the music thing for me was people didn't know that there's a lot of people like, Nick Cannon does music? And then so the fact that I was like, see this motherfucker over here. When even just the word music, like before I was rapper.
Right, now music.
Now it's like, music is something, at every project, all of my successful projects, Charlamagne, have music in them. And
a good gospel song with Kim Burrell.
No, with Kiki Shears.
Kiki Shears, I'm sorry.
You don't even know the
person. Because I was lying. I lied. I just was like, you know what? I'm not going to do them like that. And
I'm not even talking about being a fucking artist.
That's what I get for lying.
Look.
Motherfucker here.
So, like, Masked Singer. Mm-hmm. America's Got Talent.
Yeah, absolutely.
All music-based stuff. Mm-hmm. Wildin' Out. I say this all the time. I make all the music on Wildin' Out. Mm-hmm. But it's just like people just, they see the aspect of like drumline. Like everything that I do has a musical vibration to it. Mm-hmm. It's just that, you know, for whatever reason, because the motherfuckers like this, the narrative is that I haven't been successful.
It has nothing to do with me, Nick.
You're the culprit. No, it's you, nigga.
By the way, I only say rap.
He just said music. You see how the fucking media will manipulate? Like, I'll take the rap shit.
He lays the clip back.
Like, but now it's like, I'm not successful in music. Like, not,
well,
but
people don't know those things, though.
But that's the whole purpose of Future Superstar in itself. Like, we joking, we friends and shit like that. But it really is educating people to the space of like, yo, I've been a music executive for over 20 years.
But do you think you overworking? We know you had health issues before.
Yeah.
But it don't seem like you slowed down. It seemed like that made you work harder.
It,
like,
gave me more. I mean, shit, the clock started ticking faster. Like, it gave me like, yo, I really had to get serious in that sense of like, yo, all right, let's. It's bandwidth more than anything. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, I got a lot to do. You know, God ain't done with me. He's blessed me with the opportunity to have gone through some real shit. And now it's like, all right, now let's get your health together. Let's lock in and really focus and make the most of your time. So every day that I wake up healthy and shit don't hurt, it's like, I got to get to it. Like, that's the blessing in itself. So
did you really think, like, I mean, we all dying, right? So yeah. You never know when our last day gonna be. But do you really think, like, the end was near?
Hell yeah. Especially, like, during that time, it got dark. Like, during, like, you know, 2012 to even, like, 2016, because I didn't know and I couldn't get the shit right. So every time I got one thing right, like, I get a blood clot here or a pulmonary embolism. I couldn't, like, my lungs, like, so once I got to this space of like, all right, I figured out, you know, how to stay healthy and how to stay alive, then it's like, that's the constant reminder of like, you got to do something with this. You got to turn your pain into purpose. And and for me, that became helping others. Like, and you know, you go through this spiritual transition of like, all the things that feed me are probably not the best for me. But when I'm feeding others, that's when I feel the healthiest. That's mm-hmm. when I feel the drive to do. So now I live in that space. I'm like, all right, what can I do to make the world a better place? What can I do to lend a hand to the next artist? And, you know, that's that healthy journey for me, to where it gives me that drive, because I don't feel like I'm busy. I don't feel like I'm doing too much. I feel like, yo, this is my calling. This is mm-hmm. where I'm supposed to go with it. So, you know, hopefully, however many more years I got left, I'll keep rocking.
Was that the reason you started having so many kids?
People say that. I don't know. Like, if I took the spiritual,
I think
aspect,
you might have said it in an interview or joked around. And
I was joking. I think
you
probably said it here. Yeah. I was. But if I'm being serious, it wasn't like I set out to do it. It probably got to that space of like, I value being a father. I value life. So I was never against the concept. And if we want to have deeper conversations about, you know, like what I talk about in therapy, and even as men, it's like there are those times, and we've been, you know, I've called it access to excess. I have the ability.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
To do my thing, and mm-hmm. and a lot of others probably I could have stopped, you know, or even not had the children, but I was welcoming the idea of it and was never against it. So, you know, I've worked through a lot of that through therapy of like, yeah, I love being a father. I love the life that they give me life. But, and I could have made some other decisions, you know, with the mothers of my children, but I was one of those people like, I want to have these kids and as many kids as I possibly can, because, you know, I come from that mentality of like, as long as I could take care of my tribe and we can live in an abundant way, that's how I want to be there. And then, you know, we go through those, you know, everybody has challenges, mm-hmm. you know, and nobody, I don't want everybody to feel like, oh, I got it all the way figured out and I'm mm-hmm. just out here having babies and everybody's good. Like, but every family goes through their process, and, you know, whether you want to be from a judgmental standpoint or whatever, it's like you cannot deny the love that goes mm-hmm. on and how much I care for my family. And, you know, hopefully, you know, at the end of the day, the only people that would be able to tell you if I was a good dad or not are my children.
How do you mm-hmm. feel about that, with people being so judgmental, you know, saying that you have so many kids and how yeah. could you possibly raise these kids and be at their games and be at their recitals? And
proof
be
is
there
in the pudding. I mean, look, watch me do the work. Like, that's what I said. At the end of the day, the only people that really matter, the only opinion is going to be my kids. Mm-hmm. And through therapy, it's like I realized at some point, you know, I'm not going to get it right every time, mm-hmm. but as everybody knows that I'm doing my best.
Yeah.
And being the best father that I can possibly be, considering the circumstances, and I live that. I stick my chest out. It's gonna be sometimes I fall flat and like, damn, I didn't do that one correctly, or this is more challenging if I wasn't spread so thin. Mm-hmm. But it's all rooted in a space of like, I'm trying to give you my all and I'm trying to be my best. So regardless, you know, I say what people say or people's opinions about me is none of my business. And if anything, I take that low frequency energy and shift it to where it's like, all right, keep talking, because I'm doing the work.
How are you handling Christmas?
Hold on. Is it low frequency energy if people say, Nick, why don't you wear condoms?
Who told you I don't wear condoms, Charlamagne?
Well, the condoms you use, you need the suit. Now, you need the suit. If you use the condoms, you need the suit.
First of all,
Jesus Christ.
I could have had a lot more.
Do you want more?
But because of condoms, there is.
Nick, you don't wear no damn condoms. Ain't nobody here crazy.
I don't believe you
do
wear
you
a damn condom.
Kids?
You are the worst condom spokesman ever.
As a matter of fact, don't say that. I would not mind having more.
You're allergic to latex or something. You know, there's no way you wear condoms.
What are you pointing at me?
I'm asking a question. We're
inquiring about it.
We're asking questions. I'm asking people. What am I asking people? For new baby mamas.
Is this an interview?
But how do you handle Christmas?
I mean, I joke, I'm saying, oh, I'm Saint Nick and everything, but it's really structured in a way to where those, you know, I kind of take that week and turn it into Christmas week.
Okay.
You know, and there is, because I'm traveling and flying, like I'm trying to be everybody, and even Thanksgiving was the same way. I was in 5-6 different Thanksgivings at a time, because it's my mom's Damn. House, it's my grandmother's
you
house.
What do you say, 20 minutes, 30 minutes?
Why don't I mean, how long is dinner, nigga? Like,
You ain't gotta be here that long. Y'all play spades. I'm out to the next house.
Do you eat?
I take everybody, you know, everybody cook different. So, yeah. Like,
I take one thing from every house, and by the time you get to the last house, you got the whole
thing. White baby mama, I'm not really eating that potato salad.
But, oh, my God.
But you know, I might participate if they got casseroles over at the White House.
No green bean casserole.
It's different between pumpkin pie and sweet potato pie.
Now, one of your baby moms, Bree, she said, how you juggle your 12 kids for the holidays is your problem.
And I don't see it as a problem. I think she was saying, like, I don't involve her. Like,
but I feel like the baby mom's got to make it easy for you, too, right?
They do. Yeah. And that's what, I give them credit to where, like, even in the process of, like, they say this is what we want. And it's everything from Christmas pictures to sled riding to pictures with Santa or experiences. Like, I make sure that every kid who wants to do something or we have certain things set up, we make time to go do it. So mm-hmm. It's almost in that thing, like, look, we want to do these six things for Christmas. All right? And they want to do these things. So I'm kind of, again, I'm all over the damn place, but it's fun. I mean, y'all see my IG. You see me, like, I'm at the Grinchmas one day. I'm mm-hmm. over here at, you know, Candy Cane Lane the other day. And it's really, like, my kids are having an amazing time. And it's mm-hmm. and it's not to be performative. It's just like, yo, this is my life. And mm-hmm. we fucking having a ball. Like, nigga, you know how much money I spend at Disneyland a year?
We can imagine.
Nigga!
I got six, so I kind
of
know.
What? No, the percentage of the crazy thing is because I used to host Christmas morning at Disneyland.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so I used to get that Disney bag. Like, it was like, and it was... There were perks. So all of that stuff was free.
It's no longer free, huh?
It's no longer free. And I had two kids then. So, like, to be 12, so, and every birthday, Chris, like, I'm literally at Disneyland at least once a month. And to move around Disney, like, I'm probably spending $200,000 a year at Disney.
Sheesh.
At Disneyland.
Yeah, because you got to pay for the chaperone.
You got all of that. Well, first of all, Disneyland is expensive off top. Like, if you're trying to stay in the hotel, and now it's not how it used to be. Like, you got to make reservations and stuff like that. So, I'm spending $200,000 a year at Disneyland.
They need to give you, like, a membership or something.
I used to be an employee. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm like, Mickey, can you hook a nigga up? Like, can I get my job back? That's what job I need back.
I was thinking too, man, and this is the last thing I'm going to say about this. I think it is your duty, because you are a man that is of service.
Yes.
You should tell people what kind of condoms they use. You
know,
so nobody else uses those condoms. You should really tell people what your brand of choice.
Again, first of all, I like the gold wrapper. That's where it is. And those work very well. None of my children came from a condom mishap. They were purposeful.
They were planned.
Oh, so you went raw on purpose?
Yes. Oh, okay. Don't you go raw on purpose?
But I'm married.
Yes, as you should. Yes. But I'm saying, during those times, yes. you go raw on purpose. Mm-hmm. I have never had unprotected sex with someone that I didn't intend to
be with.
Right. Like, I know if I'm having unprotected sex that this person could get pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Chris, Nick like a jailbait. You tell all those women, listen, I love you, I'm going to be with you.
It sounds real gay.
We had a conversation about jailbait.
I heard. Mike Pop talking to Jaden when he was
talking. I mean, you really feel that way. I'm a fearless romantic. It's tatted on my shoulder.
But does any woman that you had a child with, did they feel like they were going to stop you from doing that and you were going to be the one? Did y'all ever have that conversation?
Just them. I mean, it's funny, like...
Did you ever sell dreams of making them think they were going to be the last one?
I'm just... She's taking it all in.
Did
you ever sell dreams?
Do as I say, not as I do.
Because one of them had to feel like they could change you. Like, I'm going to change it. I'm
because the women in my life are so amazing. They are elevated in a sense that they never tried to change me. They knew what it was, and it wasn't like... It was just a process because all of them started off as true companions. Mm-hmm. And I look at them now, it's like, those are the people I talk to, like, in that sense of, not only like some poly, you know, but like, those are that's my circle. That's who I go to when I'm having issues, because the world a lot of times is against us. So, like, we got to stick together in a sense of, like, I got to protect them and they got to protect me, even not to generalize them as a group, but just mm-hmm. individually. Those are the people that I go to when I'm depressed, when I'm fucked up, when I'm mm-hmm. like, damn, I don't know how am I going to do it this month or what. And they see that
I only got so much in me, you know what I mean? So when they see I'm a little depleted and I need to unplug for a second, those are the people that I rely on.
So what if your baby mamas decide to start dating? Like, is that an issue?
Some of them are in relationships and stuff like that. I don't know. I don't run this. Like, it's not like this is my kingdom. Mm-hmm. Like, it's whoever you want to be, whatever makes you happy, I support it. And I guess maybe I've kind of evolved to a place where I'm not driven by that. Now, obviously, the interaction is going to be completely different because somebody I'm romantically involved with or intimate with, I'm going to have a certain level of connection with them than I do with somebody I don't and I just co-parent with. So even at, you know, at the highest level, you know, the world has witnessed, you know, Mariah being in relationships and it's always been love. That's somebody that I've always admired and considered one of my best friends for life. And there was never beef whether she's in a relationship or not. So I don't have a problem with it. And I go back to how I always talk when I was like, I like who like me. Like, if you fucking with me, I'm fucking with you. If you hustle something else, then that's what the energy is. So I've never tried to push myself into a scenario that I'm not welcome into.
Did Miss Carrie ever said anything to you about having all those kids?
Yeah.
I mean,
I've seen her do interviews about it. It doesn't reach her. It doesn't penetrate her bubble.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Yeah. She got so much going on. That's the queen of Christmas right there. She treat me like J-Lo. Like, who? I don't know him.
Jesus.
Klondike, what are your thoughts on all of this, Klondike, when you hear this?
Yeah, what are your thoughts?
It's your life, man.
She's like, I'm here for the music.
I mean, I think if I was a dude, I might be living the same life. So I fuck with it. I feel like,
my nigga,
for real. Like, and then you talking about like they like your backbone, you depressed and stuff. Like, that's a lot of support. That's fire.
Right. Support. You got a lot of support.
Right.
A lot of people love me.
I feel you.
I'm sorry, I was going to get his name Klondike, but now let's talk. Does Nick want to get married? Do you see marriage in the future?
Never again? Yeah, absolutely not. I mean, because last time I used my words incorrectly. Last time we was having conversation, I'd be forgetting the mics is on and shit. Mm-hmm. And I said it was a Eurocentric concept. Mm-hmm. What I really meant is the colonial aspect of marriage. It's a business. Mm-hmm. And I've been in that business before. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be in that business no more. It's so much paperwork. I don't want the government to be involved with my love life. I shouldn't have to have a legal document or a contract to let someone know how much I care for them, that I want to be their protector and their provider. It's kind of like the child support system. Mm-hmm. If you take care of your children, there's no need for paperwork. Mm-hmm. Because I want my kids to have everything that I own. I don't want them to go without at all. I want them to live an abundant life. So I don't need the government to tell me the minimum that I need to pay because I'm going to give them the maximum. Mm. So same thing with love and marriage. If I fuck with you for life, I don't need to be binded by a contract or a ring. And therefore, that's in the way those contracts are designed. That's from a Roman Catholicism approach of how we do it. There's ways to have unions and covenants and marriages through so many other philosophies in life. Specifically, you know, in our African community from the diaspora, they do it differently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm learning and understanding those processes, but I know if you go over to the continent, it ain't about contracts. It ain't about paperwork and rings. It's like, nah, this is my wife. This is my wife. And however that moves around. So the concept of the American society marriage, I'll never do that again. But who's to say I can't find a life partner that I'm a rock with? Nigga, we ain't old. Like, we in that state where it's like, by the time I'm in my 60s, I want to be on an island or top of a mountain in Tibet somewhere with somebody I could rock with forever. So I'm looking at
somebody told me, he was like, Kevin Lyles actually told me a long time ago, he said, I can't tell you to get married, but I can tell you, you should always have somebody to share your experiences with.
Yeah, I fuck with that heavy. Mm-hmm. Like that, I can see myself doing that. And then the fact, like, people are like, oh, aren't you worried about getting lonely? Like, I got 12 fucking kids. Like, ain't never gonna be lonely. Somebody coming over. Like,
but even with that, that's scary too, though, right? Because I read something where it said you spend 70% of all the time you're ever gonna spend with your kids between 1 and 18.
That's
and
crazy.
And when you think about it, that's probably true. Yeah. Think about how many times you've probably seen your parents as you get become an adult and you're out in the world trying to figure things out.
And then even when you think about like the time that they spend at school and sports and stuff, like there's other people who are with your children throughout the day more than you are. And I'm learning that too, because I'm trying to be present at all of these games. And, you know, I'm picking them up from school and, knowing the teachers and spending time at the recitals. And it's like, I want them to at least see my presence there, because I know there's going to be a time where I'm on a film set for 2 months. There's going to be a time where I'm on tour over here. So I want them to see me every free time that I can, because when you think about the average person with a 9-to-5, from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., they are under the supervision of a completely different adult. Mm-hmm. And then even by the time you get to work, you tired, they tired, you might get to see your kids, from 6 to 8? Mm-hmm. And then y'all sleep, and then again, the average, because I'm with my therapist, we've done the math on it, the average time that a parent spends with their kids a day is less than 3 hours. And then when you think about, that's why weekends are so important. That's why vacations are so important, because that's when they really get to know you, and that's when you really get to, it's about the qualitative approach, and it's really about creating as many core memories in that amount of time that you possibly can.
When your
can.
Therapist talks about average parent, he ain't talking about you, right?
No, because clearly, to me, I'm trying to go above and beyond when it comes to that parenting aspect, because I'm trying to create the best core memories as possible, because core memories can be in a positive light or in a negative light. Mm-hmm. So, that's all about keeping your word. That's all about managing expectations, because if I tell my kids something, I'm going to make sure I do it. And obviously I have a strong support team that helped me accomplish a lot of that. Mm-hmm. But again, as important as it is to sit back and analyze these things through therapy, and I mean, this very well, it's like you're constantly trying to grow. Absolutely. You're constantly trying to figure out, how can I be a better dad, considering the circumstance.
What put you in therapy? Was it that dark time, or?
A lot of it. I mean, I started going to therapy early on with church, and that's not, I don't want to say that's not real therapy, but that's like your entry, way to be like, oh, I can sit and talk with a pastor or social groups that kind of understand what we're going through. And then I started going to facilities of incarceration, prisons, when I was about, I think it was 2007. We started doing a lot of group therapy through that process. And then I saw how these, young brothers and sisters were really growing. And I was like, I'm getting so much out of this, of even watching this experience. Mm-hmm. And then through relationship, I started doing that probably maybe 5 years after that, started working through it. And once my health really started, I really needed somebody to talk to, because I didn't know if I was going to be living or dying and all that stuff. And so I really, really started taking it serious 2016. Mm-hmm. And I know you're a huge advocate for it.
Absolutely.
We got a new platform that we're launching at the top of the year that's specifically about men in therapy and being vulnerable and talking about, these processes. But
was it like an app or something? Or?
It's an app, but it's also a new show. I'm gonna come back and talk about that one too. But it's something that it's something that you and I share pretty deeply. But man, I'm in therapy I probably go 4 times a week.
Wow. Mm,
yeah, I got one therapist that I see on Tuesday. What is it? It's Tuesdays and Fridays. Tuesdays and Fridays is my personal, I'm talking and downloading. And then there's, I do family therapy, where I bring my children in certain aspects. And
awesome.
And then even, there's the holistic approach. I talk to a lot of, shamans and things like, just getting different perspectives. And then, those conversations that you have with pastors, and in this new project that I'm talking about, it's kind of, I'll kind of give you a little bit of it, but it's a table, it's a setting of men with professionals. So I have a lot of doctors and psychologists that are, and clinicians that are actually speaking to issues that men are doing. So,
You gotta let me recommend you a couple names.
Yeah, 100%.
I know a couple psychiatrists that you should definitely have on there.
Come on, man.
Absolutely, yeah. Should have on there.
Yeah, and there's people that we all both know, like the Dr. Ishes of the world and things like that. Like, so he's a part of it.
He was the psychiatrist I used for my book, Shikwan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he's one of my co-hosts on that show and stuff. So, we'll bring all of that to the table, but the importance, that's why I applaud you and you kind of been living your life out loud and showing your growth and your process and how important mental health is. I'm sure you've helped so many men and just people in general, we all going through something. We all got challenges.
Absolutely.
And then when you can actually just be like, I can't handle it today.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Those pressures, and we've all actually lost people who are very quiet. And then we say, damn, I wish I would have known. Or, damn, I wish I could help. And that, even, taking it back to Klondike Blonde, if you watch our episode of Future Superstars, he's like, it's cute, it's fun. And you see her sitting there with, you know, her dog, as she calls her son, and she's like, "This is my emotional."
My dog is my son too.
Yeah, but
my emotional support animal.
It's, yeah. But it's legitimately her emotional support animal because of all that she's gone through in her life, and you see, like, through the love of that animal, through her music, she's been able to stay alive.
Yeah.
And it's like that process, because I have had artists that I've worked with that have taken their lives, and I had no idea it got to that level. I have had artists that were on that point, and right because someone intervened, or because they actually said, "Oh, you should check on that person."
We were,
yeah. I mean, I wasn't trying to get too deep into who the person was, but even the person that you look up to, that you admire, the people's music you love, they going through it.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to create this community that we can be there for one another, and it's not soft to do it, or it's not like, "Oh man, I was busy and I didn't get a chance to," but, and then we now have this deep hurt and this deep regret because we could have made the phone call, or we could have been a little gentler when in the process of like, "Damn, you really going through it."
And it costs nothing to be kind to people.
There it is.
I saw them ask Eddie Murphy too to give you some advice. Did you see that?
I love it. I was waiting for the advice.
Me too.
He gave absolutely nothing.
No, no. He's like, "I ain't got no advice to
help me." He got 12 kids.
All he said was love and mercy.
Yeah, I passed Eddie quick too, because he was. I look up to the Eddie Murphys, to the Bob Marleys, to the Muhammad Ali's, to the Dr. Sabies, to all these people who have giant families and providing for them all and all of their. When you talk to anybody in Muhammad Ali's camp, anybody in the Marley family, anybody, they love their father so much, and they like, "Man, my father was amazing." Like that, I hope and pray people look at me the way, or my children look at me the way that Eddie's children look at him. I hope and pray that, you know, the way that people admire Muhammad Ali as the father that he was, like, that's hopefully, you know, 10, 15 years from now, my children are saying those type of things about me.
Do you consult with other men who have multiple kids?
Yeah, not at that level. I'm not, like I said, I haven't talked to Eddie, you know what I mean? I mean, other than like him, keep going, you know what I mean? Like, in passing. Yeah. But like, I haven't had the opportunity yet, but and you know, I've had conversations with men who have multiple children, who's saying like, "Man, I understand what you're going through." And you know, there's people that have come. Dick Gregory was somebody, I mean, who I think he had 9 kids and stuff, but I was able to all of his children are amazing, all, you know, older than me, and people that I look up to. But just his process and being a father to multiple people, and then there's scenarios like, you know, mine is like, the reason why it was so shocking to me, like at 30 I didn't have no kids, you know, but now sitting here I got 12. Yeah, so
that's
crazy. So they happened, you know, quickly, and at the same time it wasn't all with the same woman, so you know, it's a little unique in my setting, but trying to figure it out.
Wow. Two more questions. What jokes do you get tired of more? Jokes about your music or jokes about Mariah?
I don't. Honestly, they only come from, those are old jokes. The new ones is like probably more, now it's all about the kid jokes. Like, you know, Bill Maher and all of them. I'm on every late night show of like, it's the multiple kid jokes, so I ain't tired of those yet, but I got to keep giving my Wild and Outcast some more material.
Gotcha. We got a producer that works here. Charlamagne says he's the president of Fat Live Matter Movement.
Yes.
He says, out of all of the overweight media male cast members you've had on the show, who is your favorite?
It got to be Fat Mac.
Fat Mac.
That's it. Rick Ross named him Fat Mac. I told him that's a better name than Big Mac.
I don't want him to be fat forever.
We don't.
Yeah, we gotta help him.
We gotta, but and that we got a new show.
I will pay for his surgery if he can get down to a weight.
This is the thing, but when you lose your fat, you lose your funny.
You think
so?
No.
Because it's something like the debate.
Who got
skinny?
There's a bunch of fat, and I'm not telling you to be unhealthy, because you can be fat.
Bruce been hilarious forever.
And he been fat forever.
No, but he's lost weight. He weighed in as big as he used to be.
I'm all
right. I ain't seen Bruce. You want Bruce up here too?
Bruce, we did a movie. We did that holiday movie for VH1, and he was in it. So he's still big Bruce.
Okay.
It's almost like the debate with Skinny Luther and Big Luther. Yeah. Like, some people like Big Luther.
Big Luther.
Damn,
I want Big Mac to be as healthy as he possibly can.
Well, yesterday,
and we get him in the gym and all that stuff, but we don't want him to be skinny, Mac.
But he came in with a Sprite Zero yesterday. So, no, is that not progress?
No, Mac, but that was at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
He was
saying, 9 o'clock.
We gonna make sure Mac stays healthy. We got a show and stuff that we working on too, specifically in that space. But,
and we want him to be here to do the show.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes, because you don't see no old big people.
No.
No. Mm-hmm.
Eventually it all catches up. Absolutely. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you for joining us, Nick Cannon and Klondike Blonde.
What can we expect from Klondike Blonde next, though? Like, what is it, a project dropping? Like, what is it?
We are working on a lot of records right now within the punk rock rap little genre.
She in that vibe, that little Uzi, that Juice WRLD. Like, she's like that whole festival vibe. So she, you know, you're going to see her do a lot of shows. And like
on
her,
rope.
Yeah, she got the Tatted Up record out right now. That streaming going crazy.
Okay.
And, you know, the tattoo world is a real world that she's embraced and living in. And like, all her punk rock rap music is gonna go up. So she's one of those artists that stream. Like, again, that was one of the issues why I created. Like, you heard the song. You heard the song on TikTok, you know it, but you never see the person.
Right. Yeah.
Now we're going to turn her into the superstar that she needs to be and you know, allow her fans to kind of touch her in the way that, you know, hopefully we take it to that level.
Who's all on Incredible? I know Justina Valentine.
Hitman Holla.
Blonde, Hitman Holla.
Yeah, those are, I mean, there's a plethora of acts that we're working with. And again, I don't like to be like, oh, you're signed to Incredible, but these are the people from the artists that you see on, you know, even people like DC Young Fly is an amazing artist. Mm-hmm. It's just that we got to line it up for when it's time to focus on his music because he's doing so many other things. So the artists that we're focusing on at the moment is Klondike, Hitman, and Justina are the ones that you're going to see in the, like, within the next 60 days dropping. And, you know, we got a lot. Season 2 of Future Superstars is going to be a whole nother run.
Right. Season 2, you got to come to Charleston.
We do.
Find some talent. Seriously.
100%. I mean, you
I got
know,
a playlist.
Carolina.
You can hear some awesome things.
You know, we are Carolina right here.
That's right. That's
some Carolina squad over here.
That's right.
I'll be there tomorrow. My grandmother just turned 104.
Or she turned 104. That's a blessing.
Yeah. Wow. Shouts out to Kareem Cannon. Happy birthday. So I'm going to spend it
that's
with my great grandmother.
Absolutely.
In Kannapolis, North Carolina.
Kannapolis? What's that next to?
Concord. Charlotte.
Oh, close
okay,
to Charlotte.
Gotcha, 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 gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's The Breakfast Club. It's Nick Cannon, Klondike Blonde. Thank y'all.
Let's go.
Thank y'all.
Wake that ass up early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.